Hi, we are the Three English Experts. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Dave.
I'm Birgit.
And welcome to this episode. Three English Experts is your English podcast to help you speak better English and create a positive and happy mindset for your English learning journey.
So, hi there, everybody, and welcome to another episode. Today, we're going back to vocabulary. So, we're talking about upgrading your vocabulary, and we thought we'd look at it in a couple of ways. Firstly, how to upgrade your vocabulary, maybe in a more formal context, in a more formal situation. Then, secondly, some of the things that get a bit confusing, vocabulary that you can get confused with very easily because they're quite similar. And then finally, we thought we'd have a look at some of the more slangy vocab or colloquial vocab, which is often sometimes difficult to understand, firstly, but also for learners to use as well. So they're the thoughts we had, how we could divide up our podcast today. So Rebecca's going to kick us off with some more formal, good-sounding English.
Good sound. I'm not sure if I would say formal, but I would say fancy. So
fancy.
Fancy. So you've got a simple word, and then maybe you can find a nicer, fancier word. So this is for me, again, it's all about upgrading B2, maybe you're B1, you want to get to B2, or you're B2 and you want to get to C1. People say, well, why do I need like 5 words for one thing? Well, you don't. In theory, you don't, but you're not B2 and you're not C1 if you don't have options. And also options are good. You know, people say, oh, I worry about gaps, that when I'm speaking, I can't find the word, I have a block. Well, the more options you have, the less likely the blocks, because you've just got more options and it just makes fluency easier because you've just got more options, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So on that note, I have a few words. I'm going to test my co-hosts here to see what they can come up with. So I've got a word, a verb, and I'm going to ask you if you can think of a fancier verb for the meaning this sort of the same thing. But I will give you the first letter to make it a bit easier. They're looking a bit shocked now because we didn't plan that. I'm sorry.
We're not prepared.
Megan's face is like, oh. Okay, so the first word I'm going to give you is the verb to show. So can you think of a fancier verb for to show? Potentially beginning with the letter D.
Oh,
demonstrate.
Dave's got his hand up. Oh, no, Big already said it. David's going to put his hand up. He's going to be all polite.
That's cheating,
sorry.
Birgit.
Sorry. You could put your hand first. Yeah, you're right.
We need a buzzer here, guys.
No buzzer.
Demonstrate. Yeah, that yes. would be the demonstrate. Word that comes.
Okay, so that's good, another good. One. Yeah, demonstrate is a good word. Another one, meaning that show.
Illustrate.
Oh, illustrate's nice. You see, that's very good. I had another one with D, to show.
Display.
Mm. There you go. So for show, we've had demonstrate. Display, illustrate, you know, so we've got some really nice words there just from want to show.
Eight words. Demonstrate, illustrate with eight at the end.
Oh, we see eight words.
Eight words.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to give you another
Understanding
one.
Understanding the natives.
Oh, keeping up. The native.
Okay, I've got another one. So how about the verb to create? Also with a D maybe? Big has got a hand up.
Design.
Another one with D, Dave? To create, Dave. To design. Mm. This is a really fancy one. D-E?
You see, it's not that easy.
He's under pressure. Develop is good, yeah. It wasn't developed, though.
Oh.
I had devise.
Oh.
Which comes from like device, you know, people know about their devices. Yeah. But to devise is also to entwickle, to develop, to create. Yeah. To devise a plan, for example.
Good one.
That's a nice one. Okay, we'll do one more. Think about. So the verb, well, the phrasal verb.
I'm not going to put my hand up. I hate this putting the hand up. Birgit never puts her hands up.
That's right.
So to think about, you can also use consider. Another one with the letter C. To think about something, to consider something to, with the C. This is fancy.
Contemplate.
Happy ever say that. Wow.
Dave wants a prize now. Now, But this brings us back to something else that we talked about in our recent gerund episode. Mm-hmm. As we said, gerund is another way to upgrade your English. So consider and contemplate also go with gerund form. So we need to consider changing the date for, or we need to contemplate doing boom, boom, boom. So again, it's fine to learn a new word. It's great when you learn a new word. I love that in German, and then I use it all the time. But it doesn't help if you don't know how to use it in a sentence. So it's, you need to look at this verb and think, go on ChatGPT and say, give me five examples of how to use contemplate, mm-hmm. and what are any grammatical structures I need to think about. And it will tell you, it always leaves the gerund, etc. So that's an important thing to mention. So we had a gerund episode in June. If you go back to June, you'll find that. Mm-hmm. And think about is also an example of a phrasal verb. So we talked about this before, a verb plus a preposition, to think about, also uses the gerund, think about doing something. Mm-hmm. And we had an episode in September last year about a phrasal verb. So head back there as well if you need some help with that. Dave's got his hand up again.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say something on the contemplate, okay, and think about. It was in a session, actually, I had recently. In the headline, it was mull, as in mull over.
Oh, yeah.
That's a phrasal verb for thinking about.
To mull over. That's quite high level. That's very fancy.
That's high level. Yeah. I don't know that.
But yeah, it was in a newspaper article, so it's quite useful, mm-hmm. because they often use the short words, don't they?
It's headline English.
Yeah. Exactly. Headline English. Yeah.
Contemplate would be too long for headline English, because it's a long word. That's true.
Yeah. Something that small. True.
Okay. So, Birgit, obviously you spent time in the UK and your vocabulary is quite large of your passive and active vocabulary. So how did you do that? And what did you struggle with when you were learning?
Yes, that's a good question, a long time ago. And you see, it's interesting because I just thought, now I'm learning Dutch. I learned in a different way. Now I have other devices to help mm-hmm. me. So I can ask ChatGPT and an app today to upgrade and have conversations with, which I couldn't when I was in England. But of course, I had conversations with real people. That was exceptionally nice. I really like that. Mm-hmm. And what I notice, and I tell my learners also, because when you learn a language, you go through different stages. And it's a progress once you sort of are able to get into the flow, have a conversation, because of course, when you live there, you will be able to do that. And later you are able to pick up more things from people when they talk. So at some point I noticed I could sort of hear certain words which I didn't obviously use then, and then I asked the people or I looked them up later, and I collected a few which I remember that sort of added to my vocabulary because people used them really, like something like devastated, or hilarious, tremendous, obnoxious, inconsolable. I don't know whether we should translate them now or put them in the show notes, because obviously that's words not everybody explains, but maybe you can explain them, devastated or something.
Yeah? Again, it's just a typical way of saying, I'm bored and zerstört, you know, it's like a disastrous thing, but I was devastated. But it is very common, actually, you know, when you think about how people speak at home. Tremendous.
Oh, tremendous.
He made a tremendous effort to do this. Or it was a tremendous display of, you know, really, really big, great, you know. Or we had a tremendous storm. You can use it in like, not meaning it was great as in we loved it, rather that it was very
huge,
fish, dark. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, there's some really great words.
Hilarious.
There.
I think people used a lot.
Very funny, yeah. Very funny.
Hilarious, yeah. We love that word. We do.
About the series you watch, a film you see.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Obnoxious. I like that word. Do you say that often?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How could
so
you explain
obnoxious?
That? Term?
Good question. I actually don't know if I know the German word for that.
When do you use it? In what situations?
When someone...
It's like arrogant, isn't it, basically?
It's kind of like arrogant. Someone who's got a lot of self-opinions or sort of opinionated.
Annoying, and when you're annoying talking
and
about,
doesn't listen to other people and doesn't care about other people's opinions, so obnoxious, is not, doesn't care about other people, there's no empathy. So, no German translation for obnoxious, Birgit, any ideas?
Good questions.
I actually don't know what I would say for that. Arrogant, it's more than arrogant, it's
more
kind
than
of
arrogant,
I will come up in a second. And inconsolable und tröstlich. So if you're really, really sad.
So yeah, so there's a lot of these nice that you pick
widerwärtig,
up.
Widerlich.
So oh, widerlich,
Again, a word I don't even use in my own language very often. Widerlich, obnoxious. Abstoßend, I think.
Abstoßend, as a person, but it has to be a person, obnoxious behavior, for example.
But that
would
fit with obnoxious.
Abstoßend, but it, only like from a person point of view.
Yeah.
It's he's obnoxious or that was obnoxious behavior or something like that. Yeah.
And you see, when you listen to a word in the country or somebody says that, I have the guy in front of me, I know who said that, and then peculiar. And I didn't know then what that meant. So I asked somebody, peculiar, seltsam, strange, peculiar.
And that's the hook, isn't it? It's this remembering who you were talking to, what the conversation was. I know that when I learn German words, I can remember where I learned that or when that came up. I remember I was looking through my list of German words actually today to see how do I learn my German words? Same thing. And I had at the top of the list, unabdingbar.
Ooh, I never say that.
Unabdingbar, which means indispensable, imperative in English. And I know where it came from. It was to do with COVID and I was watching the news and they kept going on.
Civil servant,
It was unabdingbar to get yourself vaccinated. Basically, it was like it had to, the vaccination was unabdingbar. We needed it. Yeah. And I remember that because the next word is Impfling.
Impfling.
Oh. Remember that? The Impfling and during COVID.
God.
The people who were vaccinated, very weird. But you do have this memory, I think, sometimes of where you were, how you learned that word. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And now over to some slang upgrade.
Dave.
Oh, I love slang. Slang is, I could talk about slang for years. And so I did a bit of research on sort of business slang. So I thought I would then quiz my co-hosts here. So here we go, guys. Have you heard of the word pumped?
With a P, pumped.
Yeah, P-U-M-P-E-D. Pumped.
So somebody has been pumped or pumped.
So you could say, I'm pumped to be here. Often if you're giving a presentation, for example.
Yeah, I know.
But it's slang.
Pumped. Pumped means I'm like so excited. Actually, it's a good one for Birgit, Mrs. Enthusiasm. I'm pumped.
Thank you. Nobody has said that to me. What does that mean?
Yeah, I'm really happy, motivated, excited to be here. I'm feels like I'm pumped up kind of thing. Yeah. With the muscles kind of thing. Pumped.
Do you know that Flitzpumpe or something? I don't know whether that's
what's that?
Flitzpumpe. Don't even know whether that's positive. Maybe that's even more a bit negative. Somebody who's a bit over the top. Maybe.
Okay, oh, it's over the top. Yeah, pumped. No, pumped, I wouldn't say it's...
Wouldn't be negative.
No, you would use it about yourself after, I'm pumped to be here. Yeah, okay.
Mm. And it's often used in presentations, particularly, it's I think, an Americanism that's come gradually over into normal English as well. And so the next one, to circle back, often used in meetings. Have you heard this one before?
Yes. I think that's fairly known in business. Circle back, zurückkommen nochmal, mich nochmal einziehen. I think people might know that a little more than pumped.
Okay.
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay. Take it offline.
Yeah.
That's quite modern, isn't it? Yeah.
Taking it offline, as in we'll talk about it, not in now. We see, does take it offline mean just not talk about it online, or does it mean literally talk about it in private, like unter vier Augen?
Yeah, talk it in private.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe outside the meeting, right?
Yeah.
Or outside the actual
off the record.
Off the record kind of thing, a little bit.
And this is one I didn't know this one before, but maybe you know it. To put a pin in it.
Oh yeah.
Put a pin in it. Yeah, I think I heard that.
I'd never heard that before.
No.
Okay. Really?
Let's put a pin in it. It's like to keep it, let's hold it on the board basically, because we need to talk about this and we'll keep it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to put a pin in it, but I'd not heard the con. So it's a new slang phrase for me. So I've learned something new today. I'm very happy.
And this is the thing, isn't it? Like, even as a native, you learn new things all the time. Language is changing, language is growing. And, you know, I've lived here for 25 years and I still learn new German words every day. And people say, well, how is that possible? Because I'm curious and I have my ears open. This is the other thing. People walk around surrounded by language and they go, well, I've never heard that before. And I think, how? How? Because it's everywhere. And you have to open your ears. You have to open your eyes. You have to be curious. No one's going to like hand you a list of words. You have to, like Birgit said, you're in the situation and you hear something and you think, oh yeah, that's a new word. I didn't know that. And you have to look it up or think about it. Yeah.
And that's the thing, that there will never be a 100% I know all the words list situation.
No.
Not even for somebody like me or almost native speakers. And as you said, language is changing, and we're going to have hopefully a guest later maybe who can talk about that language change. That's fascinating. Yeah, keep an ear open and learn.
I think that's also a very important point that you said there, Birgit, because keeping your ear open and listening, and then it also copying people, because that's sort of leads into my next topic, is everyday ways of speaking. And basically, native speakers in particular are very lazy, so we shorten everything. Mm. And I think this is something as a learner that firstly to understand, and then secondly to try to copy, is not always easy. So you have things, what often I hear, I'm sure Rebecca and Birgit, you can back me up on this, is this idea of when we use the word aisle.
Mm-hmm.
So I often get the impression sometimes learners don't even hear it.
No, you don't.
Aisle.
Mm-hmm. You don't.
And so that's why you often, instead of saying this spontaneous decision, oh, I'll do that, they just say, I do that. So they use the present tense instead of the future, which is what you normally use when you're giving a spontaneous decision. I'll call you back. And for some reason, they don't hear the I'll, because it's short for will.
It's hard. It's difficult to hear.
Yeah. Really. Yeah. But this is a thing to remember. So there's the short forms. We shorten practically everything, don't we? So it's very difficult, you know, when you're learning, when you know, for example, want, I want. And then, of course, the short form, wanna.
I wanna.
I wanna. And that's maybe quite fun to watch, you know, to listen to some of the songs. Or you've got going to is gonna, right? So all these shortened forms. Or give me a sec, you know, all these kind of things.
Yeah.
I don't know. So copy the people, listen and copy. Yeah, always a good thing. And also, finally, a little cheat thing. When you can't remember the question tag, if you're doing a question tag, this could be another episode, actually, a question tag.
Yeah, question tag.
Question
tags. Asking question and question tag.
Question tags. That you don't necessarily use a question tag. I think a lot of natives will also use the word yes. Yeah?
Yeah.
Or right.
I use right. I was just going to say, I go right, 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 right. So my dad will be going left. Because I overuse, right?
Right. And then lift your voice up at the end.
But again, it's like the German order, gell?
Yeah.
Nicht wahr?
Yeah.
You know, again, it's...
Where I come from, ne?
Ne? Yeah, exactly. It depends where you're from, whether you say ne.
Our areas, ne.
Oder, gell? I had a German teacher who was from Südtirol, and she always said, gell? I thought it was so cute. I love that, gell? I thought that was really nice. Yeah, again, but in German too, you have your shortenings. You know, ich hab das gemacht. You know, years I would have said, ich habe, because I would have always just, that's what I learned. And then you find out, oh no, you can actually say, hab ich gemacht. You know, that's how you, again, that's from listening to people and how people speak that you pick up.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. I think sometimes learners feel that that sounds wrong if they say it. Would that be correct? I don't know.
I don't know. Again, it's this sort of authenticity thing, isn't it? It's finding your voice. And I think some might avoid it because that's not what they've learned. And others might think, well, I'm not a native, so maybe I shouldn't talk like that. Whereas other people are happy to adopt parroting and copying. What do you think?
It's one thing that just sprung to my mind, which I remember after having already lived a year maybe a few months in England. It needed somebody to tell me how to pronounce volleyball, because it's too hard. The V we pronounce like W, too strong for British. It's a soft vowel consonant in the beginning. Volleyball, and you see, you can't always pick things up. So obviously, I said that often enough in a wrong way. If you stay long enough, hopefully you find somebody who then tells you if it's annoying enough. So maybe she was annoyed. But that was when I thought, oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
Really. Yeah? Because I could have gone on, could still be pronouncing it wrongly. I don't know whether you would correct me. Please.
This is the thing. It's different. I remember I had a client and I always used to say Vass in German, Vass. And he would say, Rebecca, wie bitte. And God bless him, Jürgen, if you're listening. That I never forget that. And I think I thank him so much for that, because it's because in English I'll go, what? Which doesn't sound very nice.
Yeah, but there you should say pardon or sorry.
Pardon, but I would never say pardon. Pardon me? No. But in German, wie bitte. You what? Wie bitte is just such a nice phrase. Wie bitte? And he said, he would correct me so often, he'd be like, Rebecca, wie bitte? And I'd be like, oh, yeah. And sometimes you need those helpful people to just help you along. Yeah.
The Golden Nugget.
Okay. Today's Golden Nugget is also interesting words that might be a little bit confusing. And it's about self-conscious and self-confident. I remember that it took me quite a while to understand what the difference was. And here it is. It's if you are self-conscious, you can say that you're self-conscious in general, etwas unsicher, gehemmt, selbstkritisch maybe. So self-conscious because you have a bad hair day. We had that before we came on. I think that's a nice idea. Everybody has a bad hair day every now and then. But you can be also a person who generally every day is self-conscious, so it's not very brave to do all the things. And self-confident, maybe interesting for listeners, is it's not in a negative way. So if you are self-confident, that's what you want to gain, hopefully listening to our podcast and improving English, you want to feel good about it. Self-confidence, sicher genug fühlen, selbstsicher genug, but not negatively, in a negative way. If that was in a negative way, you might want to say somebody is full of him or herself.
Yes.
Yeah, zu selbstsicher, selbst überzeugt. Yeah, is that correct, Rebecca?
That is, correct. It's a difficult one because the word conscious, like from a medical thing, he's conscious, it is by bewusst.
Yeah, sign, that's right? That's a trouble. I think that's
and this is
the
trouble. And then you think, well, self-conscious, selbstbewusst. Directly translated, it's really confusing. But self-conscious, like you say, is this, I don't want people to look at me. I don't feel confident standing in front of people. I feel very self-conscious. And I think the conscious is the word that messes everything up.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Bewusst, and it's like, no. In this case, it's not.
Consciousness, yeah.
I'm very conscious of something. Mir ist etwas bewusst, but self-conscious is not selbstbewusst.
That's the thing that's so troubling, yeah.
How confusing is that?
How confusing, yeah.
Okay, so that was our episode on upgrading. Lots of nice input there, vocabulary input. Next time, we are recording on July the 4th, or the 4th of July. So we thought we would bring in the Americans, although none of us are American or have any American connections, so I don't know how this
doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I'll put on my American accent.
Talk about America.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the differences between British English, maybe, and American English, typical words that get mixed up, and that will be our topic next time. So hopefully see you then.
Bye.
Thank you so much for pressing play today. If you enjoy our podcast, please share with your friends, your family, or your co-workers. Or you can also support us by giving us a thumbs up or a star rating or a review on whatever podcast platform you are using to listen to us. For questions and comments, you can also head over to our website, 3EnglishExperts.com. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate your support. Have a great day and see you next time.